One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There are so many other interesting things that you could ask me. Like, I am a very interesting person. I lead a very interesting life. I am very well accomplished. I'm well-rounded. Like, there are so many things that you could ask me about. Of all the questions in the world you could ask me, you chose to ask me, so, are you dating right now? Is there a special person in your life? Like, I think that is so boring. Girl, it's morning, girl. Time to get all the way up and be completely amazing and listen to today's episode of Emotionally Online with your listening ear, girl, right now, today. I cannot. I feel like I'm getting moderately better at doing the voice, but I'm still not too good at it. But I'm trying to become fluent because I love it so much. I've just been talking to my friend August all the time. Girl, good morning, girl. Time to get all the way up and be beautiful from your beauty bottom straight down to your beauty face. Whatever the fuck. I mess it up already. It's hard. It's actually difficult to speak so deeply incorrect. I love it, though. Those TikTok waiters are fucking hilarious. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of Emotionally Online with your host. It's me, Maddie Drosbeck, who has just fulfilled my civic duty. I was picked for jury duty last week, hence why you didn't see me last week. It was tragic the way it all played out. I was convinced that I was going to get out of it. I got the summons in the mail telling me to go to jury duty for last Thursday. And I was convinced that I was going to get out of it. I was hyping myself up all week, talking to everybody, talking to my dad on the phone, talking to my friends. I'm like, yeah, fucking, I'm going to get in there and have a hard and fast opinion on everything. Everything they ask an opinion about, guess what? Already got one. You do not want me on that fucking jury. I'm not kidding. I was holding firm in the fact that I was going to get out of this. I am like, who would want me on their fucking jury? You're kidding. Fucking, you don't want me. You trust me. You do not want me. And then I get to jury duty on Thursday and you sit in like the big waiting room with everybody who was summoned on that day and you wait for your name to be called out. They call like, let's say 15, 16 people at a time and you go into a smaller room with attorneys that are working on a specific case and they start asking you questions to see if you would be an unbiased juror for the case that they're presenting. So I got pulled into the side room and they're asking us questions. They tell you like a brief overview of the case. So I knew that it was a tenant versus landlord situation, that there was an injury involved. It was basically like unsafe living conditions. Tenant was suing the landlord. So they're asking us a ton of questions and they ask pretty much everybody else in the room the questions before me. So I am one of the last people that they talk to. So I watch everyone else's conversations go first. But I'm sitting there listening to everybody go before me and I'm just realizing how many people are saying shit to get out of this. And I was in my head like, oh my God, like everyone is like, oh, I'm an aspiring landlord. You don't want me on this case. Someone's like, oh yeah, I collect rent from my roommate. So you're really not going to want me on there. I'm kind of a landlord in my own regard. And I'm like, these people are doing exactly what I was going to do. And now I feel like I can't do it because I just watched all of them do it. And because I went, I was one of the last ones, I was like, okay, well, and I was just fucking honest. I couldn't play into it. They were like, could you imagine a world where this could have happened when this could have happened? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'd have to hear the whole story, I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, fuck, you're telling them exactly what they want to hear. Here I was being like, I'd hear it out. I don't know. We'll see. Fuck. So anyways, I got selected and I had to go back for 4 days, four full days I served as a juror. I was alternate juror one, which is actually the shittiest thing ever because you have to sit and be involved and listen to the whole case, but you're not allowed to be involved in deliberations because I'm an alternate. So I would have only been allowed to participate in deliberations if one of the main jurors got sick or something happened or whatever. So I just had to sit and listen and keep all of my opinions inside my brain and then just see if the rest of the jurors came to the same conclusion that I would have. And to be honest, I don't know if they did. But they seemed to all be unanimous. I don't know. Maybe they're just a bunch of landlord sympathizers and I was more on the opposite end of things. I don't know. But it wasn't up to me. I was an alternate juror, so that's that, I guess. I mean, it was an interesting experience getting to like see the judicial process play out. It wasn't the worst thing. I didn't like hate it. You know, it's like, oh, jury duty sucks. But I was kind of entertained. And also the other people on the jury, I'm like, we had some fascinating people on that jury, let me say. Like, just people from all walks of life within this city. I love New York. You can meet every kind of person there ever existed in the world in New York. Fucking everybody is here. And I was the youngest person on the jury by probably like 10 years, I would say. And I'm more of an observer in like social group situations like that, where I have nothing in common with anybody. So I feel like during lunches and, you know, little passing moments that we got, I was doing a lot of good observing, just taking in the personalities of everybody else on the jury. And you know what's crazy is that me and the other alternate juror, we got to spend more time chatting with each other since we weren't able to be in the room with them during the deliberations. So we had to be moved to a different room. We just sat and talked for like hours, however long it took them to deliberate over the course of 2 days. And at the end of day one, she asked for the name of my YouTube channel so she could look it up. Hey. And we came back the next day and she this is like an older woman. She was like, can I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, of course. She's like, and I only bring this up because I saw it on your YouTube channel, but are you queer? She said it just like that. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm bisexual. And she was like, oh, that makes so much more sense. Something just, oh, you know, when we were talking yesterday, she was talking to me about dating the day before. She's like, something just wasn't making sense to me. It wasn't all adding up. And now I just feel like I totally understand. And then she was like, were you like substituting the genders when we were talking at all? And I was like, no, I'm attracted to everybody. Like when I was saying I was dating men, I for sure also date men. More often date men historically, if you know, I'm laying it all out on the table for you right now. This woman that I've known for mere hours, just days of our lives we've spent together. But that was so funny to me. Or she was like, yeah, there was something missing. Something didn't quite make sense until I found out that you were queer. And I'm like, you know, me too, babe. Like, famously, a lot of people do say that. So sure, why not? But I love hanging out with old people that are like straight shooters and are just like so blunt. And there's no like, I don't know. They just say exactly what they're thinking. And I love being shocked by what they're going to say next. So I feel like I had a great time being the youngest person on that jury and just being like, wow, I need to hang out with more old people, dude. In bittersweet news, you'll notice that there's one less kitty running around this apartment because Miss Ladle got adopted, which is so amazing. She went to a beautiful, wonderful home with another young cat, a family that's going to love her to bits and pieces. So I am so happy about that. And also, she is, one of the kittens that I've had in foster for the longest. And she was the kitten that had really taken a liking to Mango. So that was sad to have to say goodbye to her and be like, well, farewell, little buddy that spent the last 2 months in my home. I will miss you very much. And you know what's so funny is Ladle's adopter wrote me a very kind note, just thanking me for being Ladle's foster and for giving her like a safe and loving home before she was adopted. And I hung it up on my fridge, and Whisk keeps jumping up and biting it and pulling it off the fridge. Just that letter. None of the other ones, just that one. It's like she knows. I'm like, that's so strange, isn't it? But now if you look over at that letter, there's a bunch of bite marks on the side of it because Whisk keeps pulling it off my fridge and taking bites. I'm like, aw. That's so sweet. And also like, she knows. How does she know? But it looks like Whisk will likely have an adopter very soon. So she'll be back with some young kittens soon enough. And for now, she has Mango to annoy the shit out of. Mango is a cuddler. She's a calm girl. She likes like chilling out and vibing and, you know, cuddling and smooching and being a sweetie. Mango's not really very playful. And so when Whisk is chasing after her, wants to, you know, fight a little bit, Mango's like, I actually am scared of you. I don't know why you're doing this. And like her and Ladle used to wrestle it out, and Mango's just not about that life. So I'm thinking that Whisk is going to get adopted very soon and she'll be able to fulfill all of her wrestling fantasies. But yeah, Mango's not going to be that girl. You know what, Mango? I would never force you to be that girl. Last night, I was invited to the Conclave premiere, which is always so cool. I love going to movie premieres. It is so fun. Everyone invite me to movie premieres. I want to go. I will say yes. I will rank your movie on Letterboxd, and I will be honest about it. So keep that in mind. But you want honest reviewers. You want people that are going to get in there and give you your feedback. And guess what? I am eager and ready to give my feedback. So I went and saw the Conclave premiere. And it was great. I loved it. Walked the carpet. I had the cutest little red dress on. I'm still waiting to see if I can find those photos. Anyways, the dress was so cute. It was perfect for the carpet. And obviously the cast was there. Director was there. Ralph Fiennes is the lead in Conclave. Stanley Tucci is also in the movie, but he wasn't at the premiere, to my complete and utter disappointment, because I love Stanley Tucci. But it was cool to get to see the cast that was there, to hear the director talk before the movie. The movie itself, honestly, I won't spoil anything. What I will say is that it wasn't what I was expecting it to be. It was honestly much, much better than what I was expecting. Not that I didn't expect it to be good, but it's watching the trailer, it doesn't look like it's going to be like my kind of movie. Obviously, I see most movies that come out, unless it's like a sequel or a superhero movie. So based on the trailer, I was intrigued, but I didn't know if it was going to be my speed. But like, that bitch is dramatic. It is full of drama and gossip and lies. And I was eating it up. It's like, what if the Catholic Church was on Real Housewives? The Real Housewives of the Vatican is basically what we saw. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. Highly recommend. Shout out. However, what I do want to talk about is some of you annoying ass fucking influencers that were invited to this event that decided to talk during the whole movie. What is wrong with you? I can't stop talking about movie talkers because you guys piss me off. It's just, that's crazy to me to be invited to a movie premiere, invited to the premiere of a movie where there are so many people present that worked on the film, and you are going to sit there and talk throughout the whole fucking movie, and you're an influencer. First of all, you make the rest of us look so fucking bad. Why on earth, when you are invited to a movie premiere, you were invited to the premiere of a movie, what is fucking wrong with you that you would sit there in the movie theater surrounded by all these people that worked on the movie and talk throughout the whole thing? Get a grip. You are an influencer. You are a content creator that was invited to a movie premiere by the studio, whoever invited you. I don't fucking know. You were invited to be here, hand selected. And you're going to talk. I hate you. I hate you bitches so much. You are so fucking irritating to me. Like, I find it annoying when random people do it in Alamo Drafthouse. When people that were hand-selected invited to go to the premiere talk, you guys are actually the worst. You are the worst, and you are so embarrassing. And I hate to be in community with you. I'm honest. I'll be honest. That is how I feel. Like, what is wrong with you? And the thing is I wasn't even sitting in the direct vicinity of these girls. I was sitting probably like four seats down or so, and I could hear them the entire movie just yapping it up full volume. Nobody gives a shit. Oh my God. Nobody, I'm telling you, not one single person cares about your commentary mid-movie. Some of you need to learn how to keep your thoughts inside of your brain instead of just saying everything that comes into your head the second that it comes into your head. If you see something on screen, if something happens in the movie and you don't fully understand it, I'm going to give you two suggestions. One, how about you wait a little bit, see what plays out, and see if your question gets answered throughout the rest of the movie? Or two, shut the fuck up, store your question in the back of your head, and Google it once the movie is over, you big fat fucking knobhead. That should be common sense. No? Did we not learn, like, movie etiquette by the time we were 11? Like, this is baby introduction level shit, okay? Movie watching for dummies 101. What is wrong with some of you? I think I am the most bothered by the fact that these people have no shame. Like, to me, to be a movie talker, you have to be so fucking selfish and inconsiderate of everyone around you. I can only imagine that this pops up in other ways in your life as well. To me, being a movie talker is such a profound, like, prolific red flag. If you want to talk during movies, go watch your movies at home. Talking in a movie theater is diabolical, and there's something wrong with you, and I need you to know that. But I thought that was so crazy to be an invited guest at a premiere and to talk during the whole thing. Oh my God. Some of you need to be taught a lesson or two, babes, because what the hell? And you know what? You make the whole community look bad. So that's, I can fight you bitches. I really could. What the fuck? What the fuck? So much has happened since I last got on the mic. I cannot even believe that this is the next topic that I'm going to talk about in today's episode. But in the time between when I last was on this podcast to now, Liam Payne passed away, which is so tragic and so heartbreaking and feels so weird still to me as a fan of One Direction, someone who spent so much of my teenage years on being a fangirl of One Direction. Many of you may have even discovered me through my, you know, One Direction phase, whether it was through my Tumblr or through the videos that I made at the time, or just like the fangirl community in general. It was crazy back then to be like a One Direction fan on Twitter and Tumblr and being like deep in the trenches. Back when we used to like call radio stations and try to win tickets and request their songs. Like, we were running full on marketing campaigns for free at like 14 years old. It was incredible. I honestly have not witnessed fandom to that degree since One Direction, I feel. At least not in the States to that level. I'm like trying to think and I actually cannot. That was like a different level of fandom to me. And it was so special to be a part of it. And I feel so much nostalgia and like sweetness towards that period of my life, towards like my fangirl era. Cause it is, I don't know, it just feels so like quintessentially teenage to me. It is like my memories from that time, they're so cringe. So cringe, but also so sweet. And that's kind of the best part. The fact that like we used to stay up all hours of the night just waiting for HQ pictures to drop so we could see like, I don't know, the outline of a bicep in a white t-shirt and like scream on Twitter, be put in Twitter jail for tweeting too often because new HQ pics of Harry and Niall just dropped. Like, it was so silly and fun and sweet. And it was just like the best of fucking times. It really was. And I have so many great memories from those years. I met so many cool people, whether it was online or like in person at events. I went to the album signing they did for Up All Night when they came to the US and they did like a bunch of stops in malls around America. And my friend Kayla and I got up super early and went to the Natick Mall to try to get in line to meet them. And they were the security. If any of you guys were there, that'd be crazy. If like somebody listening to this right now was like, oh my God, I was also at the Natick Mall for that. Maybe we were right next to each other. We didn't even know it. Wild, crazy. Maybe we're in the background of each other's photos. We should check. Okay. We should cross-reference each other's pictures later. Okay. Call me. We got there super early and the security at the Natick Mall was fucking... The security at the Natick Mall was acting like the fucking Secret Service. Like, they knew that they had hordes of teenage girls trying to bust onto the property, right? And they were acting like it was going to be the end of the world to let us queue up at 3 a.m. And you know what? We were crazy back then. I'm not going to say we weren't crazy back then because we were crazy back then. But we had things to accomplish. It was like the first 500 people in line got to meet them and everyone else was just... suck it, fuck you. No, I needed to be the first 500 people in line. So Kayla and I got there mad early. We got there like 3 a.m. I want to say, but you weren't allowed on the property of the mall. So there's the mall and there's all the surrounding parking lots. You weren't even allowed in the parking lots. So we were at a parking lot that's right next to the Natick Mall parking lot, and we were waiting around there. One of Kayla's parents had driven us there and we were just waiting in the parking lot. And then we saw some people like tiptoeing, sneaking through the bushes of the Natick Mall. And we knew which entrance it was going to be at, where they were going to line us up at. And so we were like, okay, we're just going to go for it. We're just going to start sneaking around in these bushes as well. I was like pissing myself laughing because that's like at that age when you're 14, 15 years old and you're sneaking through the bushes in the middle of the night to try to get in line to meet your favorite boy band. Like that sentence alone puts a smile on my face. Like, why did that happen? I love it so much. But I remember we were sneaking through the bushes trying to hide on the property so they wouldn't see us. And I think eventually security just got so overwhelmed with how many girls were doing this. You just have a wave of teenage girls that are creeping closer and closer to where the entrance is trying to hide. And we got pretty close and all of a sudden you just heard someone yell, "Fine, go!" And everyone starts sprinting out of the bushes. All at once. I was laughing so hard. It was the funniest thing that had ever occurred. But we were one of the first 100 people in line. So we got a good spot. And we met One Direction that day. And had our album signed. Zayn wasn't there. And I was pissed about it. I think he had like a family member die that day or something. So unexpectedly he was withdrawn from the signing. Which is... very understandable. if a family member or relative dies, you should absolutely go home and be with your family and not be signing albums of random teenage girls in America. For sure. Zayn was my favorite, though. So I was devastated. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to survive? Zayn was my number one, and he's not even here. He's not even on the song. But we pushed through. We made it. I know. We didn't know if it was going to happen, but we did. And I was wearing a Mario sweatshirt. And, you know, you go up to the table and you have little small interactions with each of them. I'm having a panic attack the whole time. So I really don't remember much from most of my interactions. But what I do remember is that Liam was the last one at the table. And so he's the last one I spoke to. And the first thing he said when he looked at me, this is so special to me. 15 years old, I was like, I'm never forgetting this. And I'm never throwing away this sweatshirt. It was a Mario sweatshirt. Liam Payne looks at me and he goes, it's a Mario time. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, yeah, it's so true. I don't even know. I blacked out. I honestly, that's the only memory that I have, is that Liam Payne said that to me. And I was sobbing. And it was awesome. And it was the best day of my life. But I have so many fun little memories like that. My friends and I making music videos to One Direction songs the second they dropped. Learning how to code on Tumblr, like being 14 and being like, I actually need to have the sickest blog ever. And so I'm going to teach myself how to code so that I can make the best edits of the boys possible. And then when editing photos of yourself with the band members became a thing, and you were like learning how to Photoshop yourself in these images for the first time, mine were mostly bad. Like I won't claim to have been the most talented person when it came to making those edits. My friend Destiny was very good at it. So I think my best fan edits were ones that Destiny made for me. And I tried. I definitely made attempts, but they weren't nearly as good, but also like so embarrassing. Like I was in my One Direction phase the same time I was in my phase. We don't talk about them here, but I was in those phases at the same time. And so I have so many fucking edits of me and like Bo Brooks. And I'm like, that's so weird. Like that is so weird that we were doing that. But it's so funny. Like, why do I have all of these weird edits of me and this random Australian YouTube group? Like, I can't think about it. And the fact that there was such an overlap there with like One Direction fans and Janowski fans, there was such an overlap, okay? Because I was in Facebook groups with all of you bitches, and the like Boston Facebook group for One Direction fans and the Boston Facebook group for fans was so similar. And I also got added into like the official Facebook group with all the Australian girls because they liked my Tumblr and these YouTube videos that I made about the life of being a fangirl. I don't know. These were the days, you guys. And the boys were also in that Facebook group. We were deep in it. Okay. Anyways. So many good memories from like my fangirl era of life. It was so sweet and so innocent. And like, yeah, I'm still friends with so many of the people that I connected with throughout my fangirl years online. And it the One Direction specifically will always have like such a special, special, special place in my heart. So hearing that Liam passed so tragically, so young, was just like, ouch. Oh my God. That is devastating. And then when all of their statements started coming out, I was crying. I was like, damn, what the hell? That's weird. That's weird that one of them is gone. So I've been listening to a lot of One Direction this past week and a half. And I've been rewatching all the music videos we made back in those years. And I feel so sad for his family, for his son. How deeply fucking tragic. What I do want to say is that you would think that in the wake of such a tragic death, people would have a little bit more sense about them on the internet in like how they handle that and how they behave on social media, but they really fucking don't. So I want to talk about two things. One is the way that people were behaving in his girlfriend's comment section and other family members of his comment sections in the first like 24 to 48 hours that he had passed away. I don't know what I thought I was going to see when I looked in those comment sections. I think sometimes I'm like, I have way a much higher level of faith in people than I should. So this was like maybe even Wednesday night. It had been not even 24 hours since the news had broke of his passing. And I was looking at his girlfriend's Instagram. And I opened up the comments. And you would think that there would be like an outpouring of love and support there. Even if you don't like him, even if you don't like her, you'd think that like if you have nothing nice to say right now, you just shut the fuck up. Right? Because this is a tragic thing that happened and there are a lot of people mourning and it's sad. And this is his girlfriend. And regardless of what you think about him or her or whatever, if you have anything negative to say right now, today, not the day to air that. Like, I thought that maybe in those comment sections you would have seen people, I don't know, just like saying nice things, sending condolences, saying nice things about Liam. I don't know. Maybe that was optimistic of me. That was not what was in those comment sections. In fact, the top comment that I saw on this poor woman's Instagram was someone berating her for not having made a public statement about it yet. And being like, how dare you claim to love Liam and then not speak up in his passing? First 24 hours. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. First of all, that girl didn't need to say a single thing in that first 24 hours, in the first 48, in the first week, in the first month, in the first ever. There is nobody online that owes you any kind of statement when someone close to them passes away. Some of you need to get a grip on reality. Like, the parasocialism is so insane. Like, you aren't owed communication from people when they're grieving. You aren't owed any kind of response, any kind of look inwards into what they're feeling, what they're processing, what they're experiencing. Like, you are not owed access to that information. And it's really weird that you think you are. Like, it's really weird. That was a bizarre comment. The girl just found out that her boyfriend died tragically, and you wanted her first reaction to be to get on Instagram and make some type of coherent statement for your consumption while she is experiencing an intense level of grief. It's crazy. It's crazy. Sometimes it feels like people online have never spoken to a real human person before. And it often feels like people, like, they don't have enough self-awareness to look at themselves from a bird's eye view and be like, hey, you know what? That's weird. What I'm doing is weird. If the roles were reversed and I was her and this was my boyfriend that just passed suddenly and tragically, that would be really weird if people were leaving me comments like, make a statement. How dare you, you clout chasing bitch, in the first 24 hours. That's crazy. That's literally, you're out of your mind. So you had people like that. And then you had other people who, on the other side of things, where if people were expressing their sadness for this death, they were like, how dare you express any kind of sadness at this passing? How dare you be like grieving the loss of this person? He was a terrible person. He did so many terrible things. How dare you be sad? Oh, glad to know where your morals are. Guess you support XYZ, whatever. That is also an insane response for a different reason. But I can't fathom like what kind of thought process is going on in these people's brains when they're writing these comments. When I saw that people were getting mad at like One Direction fans for expressing their sadness in Liam's passing, because they're like, oh, he sucked. He was a bad person. He'd done a lot of really bad things. Because the thing is, no matter what kind of person Liam was, no matter how he behaved in his personal relationships over the past few years following the height of One Direction, no matter any of those stories and truths that are passed around, none of that makes it so that he deserved to die. You know, I believe, and I think a lot of other people do too, that Liam deserved to take accountability, to grow, and to learn from the mistakes and missteps that he has made in his life. The proper solution there was not to be like, well, he died, and so now we're not going to grieve him because he had done shitty things in his life. He had been a bad partner. He had done, you know, like, that's a real person that you're talking about. That's a real human person who just died tragically. And I believe that he deserved to have the opportunity to be different, to grow, to change, to learn, to take accountability for the ways that he had done wrong to other people in his life. He deserved the opportunity to change, and now he will not have that because he died a tragic death. Clearly, he struggled a lot. And there's so many conversations to be had about like the impacts of fame at a young age, and if it's like, if teenagers should even be able to be famous, especially to that degree. Like, I can't imagine the kind of like mental turmoil that having to process all of that as a teenager can put you in. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of the stories that we've heard about Liam Payne's bad behavior are true. But those things being true doesn't mean that he's not worth being grieved, or that people who loved his music and who have a special place in their heart in One Direction are allowed to like publicly say, wow, it's so tragic that he passed. And also, I think it's okay for people to feel like conflicted about these things. It's okay for you to be like, I feel really sad about Liam Payne's death. And also, I feel conflicted about that because I know that he had also been not a great person over the last few years. I know that there had been all these stories in the news about him. Like, it is okay to feel multiple things at once. And I think it's really weird when people go on the internet and try to do like a gotcha to people that are grieving, to people that are sad in any way, and be like, oh, well, you're a bad person now because you're sad that this person died a tragic death. Shut up. Like, genuinely, some of you need to go practice socializing a little bit more and then come back later. Because what are we doing? Like, multiple things can be true at once. And I think it's weird, the internet's desire to write people off as being all one thing, all good and all bad, rather than every person on earth being a mixture of both, right? So many people have so many beautiful, fond, you know, incredible memories with Liam, because of Liam, because of One Direction. It is totally normal for people to be sad about a tragic death of someone way too young, right? And it's also fair to criticize Liam Payne and to call out that he wasn't a perfect person. But to those of you that want to use that as the reason why people should or shouldn't be grieving, just seems so unbelievably misguided to me, because I don't care what he did or didn't do. He didn't deserve to die. People deserve the opportunity to be here, to be different, to learn, to grow, to change. It is so deeply weird to me that in the face of something tragic, people are dedicated to having their gotcha moments with people. Like, you're bizarre. And also, like, two things can be true at once. You can acknowledge the fact that he had done bad things, that he had not been a great guy in his personal relationships, and you can also acknowledge the fact that he brought so much happiness to so many people's lives. And these two things can be true. and we can hold space for both of it. He's not all good or all bad. And people are allowed to grieve the loss of someone that died way too young. I don't know. That should be obvious, shouldn't it? Everything I said, very agreeable. No, but people on the internet are crazy. Can I just say, I laugh so hard when y'all submit to the box and then you come back a few days later and you're like, hey girl, I was crazy back then. Please ignore that message. Like, it makes me giggle because I do see it. I do see it. It comes in from the same email address, so I can tell which one is who is sending me that. And it happens more often than you would think, where I get a message and then a few days later they're like, hey, I'm sending in a retraction. I don't know what the fuck I was on about back then. But listen, if you send in that retraction too late and I've already sorted through the box and pulled my shit and I record and then I see your retraction afterwards, like, that's on you, babes. So that box is open. Please submit as you will. And, you know, if you need to issue a retraction, you can go ahead and issue that retraction. But I cannot promise that I will see it. So just be aware that when you submit things, that means that I might talk about them with or with not a retraction that happens later on. So with that, let's dive into a few submissions that were sent in without any retractions. Hi, Maddie. Here's my situation. I've been best friends with this guy since about 2 years and have known him for about 4. For all of that time, I've been living abroad and could rarely spend time with him, but in the last 4 months of me living abroad, him and I would call every day to play the New York Times games together. I have now been living in the same city as him again for the past 2 months, and we've been spending a lot of time together. We see each other almost every day. He comes to where my work is to have lunch with me. We have coffees and dinners together. We go to the theater, just the two of us. We spend whole weekends together, and I sleep over at his. I live far from the main city, once a week, maybe more. Here's the issue. He has a girlfriend of 3 years. I know her, and I would say I'm friends with her, but every time I plan something and offer him to invite her, she declines. I can say that I've had a crush on him for quite a while, but I am now fully falling in love with him. I'd say it's reciprocal, maybe because of the way he looks at me or just because we have insane chemistry at times. It is overall confusing to me that he's spending more time with me than his girlfriend. I know I should just wait and see, but I'd like your opinion on the situation. What would you do? Okay, I'm gonna offer some tough love right now, and I truly mean this with all the love in my heart, but it might come off a little harsh because this is something I'm a little passionate about, okay? But it is not okay to knowingly involve yourself in someone else's relationship. If you are friends with someone and, you know, you're very close friends and you know they have a girlfriend and over time there's a flirty vibe that emerges between the two of you, I do believe that it is the right thing to do to put an end to that shit immediately, to shut it down, to not lean into it, to not just see what happens. I don't think that's appropriate at all. Yes, it is the responsibility of the person in the relationship to respect the boundaries of their relationship 100%. However, I don't think that just because you are not involved in the relationship and you didn't sign up to the terms of that relationship means that you don't owe it to people to respect that, right? I've done episodes on being the other woman unknowingly in the past before. I have unknowingly been the other woman and it tore me up inside when I found out. I felt so devastated, so heartbroken that I had unknowingly been that girl in another woman's story, that I was the reason why they were upset, or it wasn't me. I'm not going to take responsibility for situations that men have put me in, but I was unknowingly a part of something that hurt another woman, and that devastated me because I never want to be a part of that. To knowingly put yourself, involve yourself in someone else's relationship like that, to be all flirty and leaning into it and seeing what happens, I believe that's wrong. If your friendship with this person is becoming too intimate and too involved, I think it's on you to stop that if they're not going to. If it is just a friendship and you're going to treat it like just a friendship and you want to see each other all the time and be super close friends, that's totally fine. But if you're going to hang out all the time and be super involved and be sleeping over at their place and flirting with them and being, you know, behind your back, like, oh, I wonder what happens, knowing they have a girlfriend, that is morally fucked up. That is wrong. I don't care if you think it's reciprocal or not. Like, that poor fucking girl. I need you to not think about what you would want in your ideal world, what you think they want. Think about his fucking girlfriend and how she would feel if she found out all of this, if she had to read this message. How fucking terrible would that be? If you were the girlfriend, how would you feel? Like, that is terrible. That is so terrible, horrible, and awful. It makes me ill just thinking about it. It totally makes sense. If you have a close, intimate friendship with someone that, you know, you're hanging out with more and more and you see them a lot and you're flirty and things are sort of progressing in a certain way, it makes sense that maybe over time you would start to catch feelings for them. However, I think when that happens, when you start catching feelings for someone that you know is in a relationship, it is on you to set proper boundaries to make sure that it doesn't progress further. You either decide that you're going to be friends and just friends and you commit to that, or you put distance between yourself and this person, because it is not okay to fuck with someone else's relationship like that. I do not think that is cool. You know that he is in a relationship, so adjust accordingly. That's that to me. I don't think it is worth discussing beyond that. I don't think there's any world where I would get on here and tell you to just see what happens. He is in a relationship. Until he is not in a relationship, that cannot be acted on or indulged in any further. And he's fucked up for indulging in it at all. And to be honest with you, I don't know why you would be interested in someone that is willing to treat their girlfriend like that. If he is being flirty and involved with you and you think that their feelings are reciprocal. Like, I've talked about this on the show before, though, when people who are the other woman seem to believe that they can get someone to leave their girlfriend and they won't do the same thing to you. Like, you don't want the situation that you're setting up for yourself right now. You don't want to be involved in this. You don't want to let it get to the point of cheating, because that would be horrible. That would be the worst, okay? And if, let's say, you guys did get together and then he left her for you, there is no saying that he wouldn't then do the same thing to you with someone else. I think it is so supremely fucked up. If the boundaries of your friendship with this person who is in a relationship are being questioned and things are getting uncomfortable and you're, like, you know, feeling more intimately connected to this person than you should, knowing they're in a relationship, I think that it is the responsible thing to do to put up boundaries to change that. Again, I think that you can have very intimate friendships with people who are in relationships and have that not be a threat to the relationship at all. 100%. But what you're describing here is a threat to their relationship. You're saying you have feelings for him, that you could see yourself falling in love with him, that you think it's reciprocal, that they have insane chemistry. Like, it's clearly beyond a friendship to you. And I think if you guys were hanging out all the time, if you were sleeping over at his apartment and it was strictly a friendship, that would be one thing. This is clearly not that. So something has to change. And I don't think we should be leaning into this any farther. Like, he is in a relationship. That's where it starts and ends. Imagine if you were in her shoes. No. We cannot prioritize our own crushes and our own feelings over the well-being of other people. We can't steamroll other people and break their hearts in pursuit of our own love. That's not okay. And I think there's karma that comes back for that. So watch it. Because I think you're on the cusp right now. I don't think anything bad has happened yet, but it seems like you're on the precipice here. You're on the brink of this turning into something really not good and over the line completely. So before you indulge yourself any further in this fantasy of being with this person who's in a relationship, ask yourself how the fuck you would feel if you were his girlfriend right now, and adjust your actions accordingly. Because, listen, to be a lover girl is also to be a girl's girl. And we do not fuck with people in relationships. No, never, never, ever. Not knowingly. When we know better, we have to do better. And you have the knowledge to do better, so you must. I'm sorry if that sucks. I'm sorry it sucks to have a crush on someone who is in a relationship, but that, like, we need to sit with that. sit with the disappointment of that and be sad about that. We cannot just indulge in it further and try to pursue that. And no, nope, we can't. So with peace and love, with so much peace and love, with the maximum amount of peace and love, that's my take on that. Hi, Maddie. I am often asked the dreaded question, so are you dating right now? Especially by family and in general, older people for some reason. Every time I get together with my big family for holidays and such, I dread that question and it's asked every time. I never know how to answer it. I'm currently the same as you with dating. I'm not on the apps anymore. I'm not going super out of my way to date and meet people. I would rather have something happen organically if that's what it's meant to be. I know I could tell them this, but for some reason, the question makes me uncomfortable. And in the moment, I freeze up and get insecure slash anxious, wondering if I should be actively dating if I really want to meet someone. And am I being naive by having hope that it will happen naturally without me putting myself out there in that way? Especially since the people who always ask me that question are older and seem to have all the important life things figured out. And I am floating in the wind, having no clue what I'm doing. Have you ever faced this insecurity? And would you have any advice? Appreciate your perspective so much. Thank you for being you. Yeah, I totally get that. And this is also a question that I hate. But I actually find that I hate this question less for the question itself and more because the people that ask it are never people that are asking me other more interesting questions first. You know, like the people that ask this question are not the people that are involved with you in your day-to-day life. Because if people are involved with you in your day-to-day life, they already know the answer to this question. If someone is asking you this, presumably it's because they don't see you or talk to you that often. And I think this question specifically annoys me because I'm like, there are so many other interesting things that you could ask me. Like, I am a very interesting person. I lead a very interesting life. I am very well accomplished. I'm well-rounded. Like, there are so many things that you could ask me about. Of all the questions in the world you could ask me, you chose to ask me, so are you dating right now? Is there a special person in your life? Like, I think that is so boring. It is so boring. Like, you haven't seen me in months and years, maybe. And the most pressing question on the top of your brain is there someone else in my life? Fuck them. Fuck this hypothetical secondary person. Ask me about me, bitch, because I've been doing a lot, okay? Fuck a relationship. I have so much to fucking talk about. Ask me about anything else. That's why it pisses me off, because I'm like, my dating life cannot be the most interesting thing about me. It absolutely can't, and it isn't. So please ask me about anything else. Ugh. So you know what? When people ask me that, I use it as an opportunity to talk about all the things I think they should have asked me about instead. I think really I just use the are you dating question as a way to be like, no, I'm not. I'm open-minded, but I'm focusing on myself. And here are all the ways that I have focused on myself over the last few months. Here are some of the things that I've accomplished. Here are some of the things that I've been doing. Here are way more interesting conversation starters that you can ask me follow-up questions about. I don't know. I find these questions particularly irritating because I'm also like such an open book. There are some people where you might be like, I don't know what to ask them. So I just, you know, run through a list of typical questions that you ask people. And I guess dating is on that list. But I'm just like, I am not one of those people. You take one glance at my social media pages. You don't even have to indulge deeper than like a 60-second glance at my Instagram page. And you can ask me a better question than that, for sure. 100% you can. And I don't think that you should feel insecure when people ask you that question or feel like, oh, does this mean I should be dating? I honest to God think that people just ask questions like that because they are not thinking and they have not thought of a better question to ask. But if anybody does pity you in response to you saying, no, I'm not dating right now, if anybody turns it around like, oh, I'm sorry, honey, you'll find your person soon, and tries to turn it into a sad thing, please understand that that is their own internal projection and it has absolutely nothing to do with you. There are a lot of people in this world that would rather be in a relationship constantly, whether or not it's with the right person, than be alone. There are so many people that are so afraid, deeply afraid of being alone, that are uncomfortable being alone, that do not know how to be alone. Some of those people can look at people that do know how to be alone, that are content being alone, that are enjoying their solitude, and go, you know what? good for you. You inspire me. I love that. And there's other people that look at you and will think, oh my God, they must be so miserable. I would fucking die if I was them. I can't be alone for fucking a week. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. And they think that you're miserable because they would be miserable. You just need to know inside your own brain that we are not the same person. Okay? I don't think like you. You don't think like me. And thank God. And it's those people that piss me off the most that I have a beef with. I hate the way they talk about being single. I hate the way they talk about single people. I find these people so deeply dreadful. Truly. And to even imagine living a day inside their brain space gives me hives. All right? I can't imagine it. I am someone who cherishes my solitude, that sees such value in it. The same way I see value in being with community and being vulnerable in experiencing closeness with other people. I am just not someone that values one over the other. I think both of these things are truly wonderful, important parts of being, right? If someone else can't see that, that is not on me. That is on them. And we don't need to take on their perspectives and their opinions as being the right ones. Okay? I'm so excited. I'm going to a very nice restaurant in my neighborhood that was just ranked in the top 100 restaurants in New York City. And I've actually been to this restaurant before, back when it like first opened, before it made itself on the list of the top 100 restaurants. Because it like had just opened up in my neighborhood and I was like, oh, new restaurant, let's go. And me and my friend August went and it was so good, so delicious. I was going through the New York Times list of the 100 best restaurants in New York City, seeing how many that I had been to. And I saw this on there and I was like, oh, no way. We should circle back. We should make our way back there. So I literally made this reservation a month ago because August and I were like, we've got to go back. And they're constantly booked now that the word has gotten around about them. So I'm going to go tidy up my apartment, give the girls some smooches, and get myself ready to go to dinner. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today. I love you so much, girl, in your beauty bottom, all the way up to your sexy, gorgeous face. You listened today with your ears, emotionally online, and I will see you next week. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.